Hi there, Rachel here. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2024, I have some big news. After selling out during the holiday season, my Flex of Gold journal is available for pre-order right now and will be shipping to your home by the end of June. To celebrate, we're running an amazing pre-order sale for Mother's Day. Purchase the journal before May 13th and you'll get $10 off every journal. This is our best price of the year, even better than Black Friday, so it's the perfect time to stock up for gifts for family and friends. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and write down the fleeting golden moments that they experience with their children each day. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to reserve your copy, and you'll also see our brand new cover colors, as well as our new cover option, which is a wipeable vegan leather. So again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day 2024, they'll be marked down by $10 each. I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this beautiful gratitude journal for mothers. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. Feeding my family is not my favorite. If you've been listening to the podcast for very long, you've probably heard me talk about this. It is a constant work in progress for me to figure out how to get dinner on the table for my family. And one of the resources that has been helping me a lot in the last year is the podcast Didn't I Just Feed You? The hosts, Stacy and Megan, are both professional chefs and moms, and they are dedicated to helping busy home cooks like you and me feed our families with a sense of more community, ease, and joy. Stacy and Megan were guests on 3 and 30 back in episode 329. You may remember their fantastic episode all about family food traditions. Well, after that conversation, those ladies invited me on their podcast to talk about my journey with feeding my family and how I'm learning to declutter the guilt and stress that I feel around this task. I had so much fun being a guest on their show, and they graciously agreed to let me air the audio of that conversation here on 3 and 30 today. So in this conversation, you'll hear me walk through the three steps to decluttering your motherhood that I teach in my full audio course, but I will be applying those steps specifically to the arduous task of feeding your family. You'll also hear me talk a little bit about a special handout I made for the listeners of Didn't I Just Feed You so that they could go through this three-step process on their own. And I want to make sure that you know I'm making that handout available to all of you as well. All you have to do is text the word dinner to 33777 and we will get that free handout to you. So if this conversation piques your interest and you want to do some of your own internal decluttering around feeding your family, text the word dinner to 33777. Okay, with no further ado, here's an excerpt from my conversation with Stacy Billis and Megan Splon on their podcast, Didn't I Just Feed You?
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You?
A podcast about feeding kids.
Hello, I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacy. We are back in the swing of all things Didn't I Just Feed You? Today, we're taking that new year decluttering energy, and instead of applying it to your closet or your pantry, we're tackling the mental load of feeding our families. So we are joined by our friend, Rachel Nielsen. She's the host of 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, and she has this great system for thinking about how to kind of declutter your motherhood in general. And she's going to share some principles with us. And then once Rachel leaves the conversation, we're going to talk specifically about how you can apply her principles, not just to these broad ideas about feeding your family, which are so useful and the perfect place to start. But then we're going to drill a little bit deeper and talk about it practically as it relates to meal planning.
There's so much here, but I want to get right into our conversation.
Yeah, it's such a good one, you guys. And it really is, like, in my mind, the place to start.
Yes. So Rachel Nielsen is the host of 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, a podcast that gives moms three actionable takeaways to help them know and take care of their needs and then take care of their families too. Rachel also hosts Declutter Your Motherhood audio courses where she helps busy parents beat overwhelm and burnout for good. Okay, Rachel, this idea you shared with us that busy parents can declutter the mental load of feeding their families is super exciting. We've definitely talked about mental load as it relates to feeding families, and we've also talked about decluttering spaces like kitchen pantries. But talk to us a little bit about how you came to this idea and this process.
Yeah, so I have a really good friend who's a professional organizer, and she came to my home and helped me do my entire home, which was the best gift ever and so much fun. And while we were decluttering my physical spaces, it just dawned on me that the same process she was teaching me for a physical space could work in a mental space. And so all of the shoulds that I carry around and the mom guilt that I sometimes feel, that's essentially mental clutter. And I can go through it in a very similar way as I would my physical possessions in a cluttered closet and sort of hold each one of my shoulds and decide whether or not it fits me, whether or not I don't want to keep it, whether or not it sparks joy for me, like to use a Marie Kondoism, and sort of like consciously let those things go in a way that feels almost as much of a release as letting go of like a sweater that doesn't fit me anymore. And so I developed this process for moms. I call it Declutter Your Motherhood. Today, we're going to talk about it specifically with feeding your family of how do I go through all of my shoulds and let them go if they don't fit me anymore?
Oh, it's so smart. Does it include finding a way to physically take feelings we want to get rid of and like throw them in the dump or like take them to the Salvation Army?
Write them down and burn them.
Here, yes. Go.
I mean, wouldn't it be so wonderful if it was as easy as that? Like, and I do sort of, I have a full course on this. And in that course I go into like, it's not as simple as being like, well, this doesn't work for me anymore, so I'm just going to let go of this should, and I'm just going to toss it in the garbage. Like, it takes a little bit more inner work and sort of working through why you have that belief, where it came from, how you can let it go. It's not as easy, unfortunately, as just taking it to a donation center, but it's still possible to do that kind of inner work to let some of this stuff go.
Yeah, love that.
Well, can you talk us through this process? Someone who might want to apply it to how they feed their families, what the steps are, and then like how you practically apply it?
Yes, absolutely. So I sort of boiled it down to three steps. First, you have to inventory what's even in your closet, in this case, in your mental closet around feeding. What's in there? My friend had me take everything out of my closet when we were organizing it. And I felt like, why would we do that? Why can't we just thumb through the stuff that's in here and toss stuff, you know? And she's like, no, you need to take it all out so you can really see what you have. And then it's just so much more of an intentional decision of what deserves to be in there when you're deciding what to put back in. So the first step is to inventory, get a really good sense of what's even in there. The second step is to edit, to go through all of those possessions, decide what stays and what goes. And then the last step is the fun step, and that's to make room for more joy. You know, with my physical decluttering, after my friend left, I only had about three or four shirts left that I really loved.
I totally get that. Yeah.
My closet was very empty. And it just helped me to see that, oh, there's room here for me to add clothes that I love, that fit me, that are my style. So decluttering isn't just about getting rid of stuff and having minimal of everything. It can also be about curating a wardrobe that you really love, that really feels like you. And that can be similar to curating a life that you really love. Once you get rid of all the crap that doesn't really fit you, you're like, whoa, all of a sudden I have room here to add more joy. So those steps are inventory, edit, and make room for joy. And I can walk you through kind of how that would apply to feeding if you would like.
Yeah. Yeah. So the inventory thing I think is really interesting. Like when we talk about decluttering a pantry, it is like you're pulling all the things out and you're maybe making a physical list of what you have. And then editing is easy because you can be like, oh, this is expired, or like, I know someone else who can use this better. But it's hard when we're talking about the inner work to know how to inventory and edit.
Yeah. I also feel like with inventory, it requires a lot of self-awareness that I think is very hard and deep emotional work when it comes to food, because it requires us to think about our own relationship with food. And sometimes like we just want to avoid that, or we don't want to go there, or that for some of us, maybe that requires like deeper, longer term work. So like, what's the immediate we can do so that we can think about like how to feed our family and, like, on a parallel track with maybe doing some food healing for ourselves or some body healing, because those things are kind of related. So I'm curious also, like Megan, to like dig into inventory and like what that looks like practically when it comes to feeding a family in your eyes.
Yeah. So what I would do for that step is to simply sit down, set aside 30 minutes, sit down and make a giant brain dump of everything that is currently residing in that brain of yours about how a good mom feeds her family. And so you may write that at the top, like how a good mom, quote unquote, feeds her family, and just start writing down everything that comes to mind for you. Even if like you rationally know that some of this stuff isn't legit, it's still in your inner closet. It's still bugging you and nagging at you because somewhere along the line, you inherited a belief from somewhere about, you know, different. So there might be different things. Like maybe you believe subconsciously that a good mom makes homemade meals, that a good mom avoids certain foods or sugar or processed foods or whatever because they're, quote, bad. So maybe you're asking yourself, like, what foods do I think are bad and why? You know, what's my expectation around food and meals being homemade and why? I mean, and first, if you don't even want to get into the why yet, just make your big list first. You know, is it, because the why gets a little deeper. So maybe it's like a good mom feeds her kids vegetables. A good mom avoids fast food. A good mom is aware of the budget when she's making meals or whatever it is. Just get it all out, dump it out. So much of our shoulds around any topic, but I think around feeding specifically, are largely subconscious. And we may think that we don't have a whole lot of shoulds, but when you start writing them down, they are there. And then after you sort of get them out and you can look at them, that's when you start asking yourself, why do I believe this? Where did this come from? And for a lot of us, that will be family of origin. It will be like cultural media messages around clean eating. Or, you know, a lot of, I remember as a brand new mom, Pinterest had just come out. And so that was an interesting time to be a brand new mom. And I remember kind of going through Pinterest and seeing all of these accounts about real food. And it's wild to me now that I had never been exposed to that movement before that time. And it honestly was, I was like, what? Like, am I supposed to feel bad for feeding my child a granola bar? There's moms out there that don't do that. And like, if my food isn't real, quote unquote, does that mean that it's bad? It was like introduced to all of these new ideas around what good feeding is. And as a brand new mom, that was not a time of my life that I needed more influences telling me how I should be doing things. I mean, I spiraled in, not just because of that, but for a lot of reasons, I kind of spiraled into a dark depression in that phase of my life. But so you're getting all of these shoulds out and you're asking yourself, where did they come from? And that's when you can start making conscious decisions about whether or not you want to keep them.
Is there a part of the inventory process or the edit process that you're also including your partner, if you have one, in these conversations? Because I certainly feel like I had unsaid, without having a conversation, come into my marriage and raising a family with this idea of what my husband expected around mealtimes too. And I can like easily put those on the list, but when it's time to maybe edit those out, it's harder to just feel like I can do that in a silo by myself.
Yeah. I think that is so real. And one of the categories that I often give women, and I'm going to create a worksheet for your listeners. I just decided that on the spot.
Okay, amazing.
We'll do a little download where I can get even more specific on some categories. Because that's the other thing is sort of when you have an inventory process and you don't have categories, it can feel really broad. So I'll give you some categories in this worksheet about like, what does your partner believe about this? What did your family of origin tell you about this?
So helpful.
But 100%, when I teach this concept live to groups of women, the expectations of their partner is a huge part of the shoulds that are in their closet. And sometimes it's like perceived expectations that they've never actually even talked to their partner about, but they think their partner wants from them and they're harboring all of this resentment about it. And I remember a woman telling me that she and her partner had decided that she would be a stay-at-home mom. And so she felt like it was her responsibility as a stay-at-home mom to have a hot dinner on the table, homemade, 5 days a week, because that is what her partner expected of her. And I pushed back and I said, has he actually said that to you?
Yeah.
Or did you somewhere along the line think that you figured out that you know what he wants? And she said, well, he hasn't actually said that, but I do know that's what he wants. And I said, okay, well, go home and have a conversation, okay? And she emailed me later and she said it was so eye-opening. I asked him and talked to him about it in a connected time where I wasn't like defensive or anything else. And he said, of course I don't expect you to have a hot homemade meal 5 days a week. I do love when there is a plan for dinner. So when I get home, there's a plan. But if that's takeout or that's pancakes or pizza or whatever, great. But like, it's just really stressful for me when I come home at 6 p.m. and there's no plan and we're scrounging around. And so like, we can work together to make the plan. Or if you totally want to take it on to make the plan, that's fine. But what would be helpful for me is for there to be a plan, whether or not it's homemade. I mean, that is a very different expectation than a homemade meal 5 days a week. And it just took like having that conversation to sort of sort that out. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Kneaders Bakery and Cafe, a taste of home in every bite. With Easter coming up, I am dreaming of my mother-in-law's homemade rolls and pies. I, for one, don't really enjoy cooking, which is why I rely on my mother-in-law. But for holidays where we can't travel to be with them, we still want a delicious meal, but without all the stress and fuss of making it ourselves and cleaning it up afterwards. If you're like me, try to find a place to order from that's as close to homemade as you can get. Kneaders is honestly the closest thing I've found to that. At Kneaders, everything is made fresh from scratch. They've got a new lemon truffle pie, as well as the classics, raspberry cream cheese, coconut, and chocolate. Their homemade rolls are so soft and delicious. They have locations in Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Nevada, Texas, and Utah. And when you order in the Kneaders app, 3 in 30 listeners can get $2 off a whole pie now through March 30th using the promo code 3 in 30. Are Kneaders pies and rolls on the same level as homemade? Try them and let me know what you think. And don't forget to use the code 3in30 in the Kneaders app through March 30th to get $2 off a whole pie. That's Kneaders app, Kneaders, discount code 3in30. This podcast is also sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Today on the show, I'm opening up about why it can sometimes be difficult for me to find joy in feeding my family. This is a vulnerable topic. There's so many expectations about what mealtime should look like, but it's different for every family. I'd like to think that if I had more time in a day, I would spend it making meal prep more of a social thing in our home, involving my kids more in the cooking process, but I've learned that it's absolutely okay if that is not my season of life right now. Without years of therapy, I would likely be stuck thinking about what it should look like to feed my family, and I would be missing out on just enjoying the good moments that we do occasionally have around the dinner table. Therapy has helped me be so much gentler with myself, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, I recommend trying BetterHelp. They've made the onboarding process simple. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Even though you won't solve all of the issues in your life through therapy, you will get to know yourself better and enjoy your loved ones more fully, and that is absolutely worth the effort. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3in30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/3in30.
And you know what's so interesting too? I think that sometimes we get mad at our partners because if someone is operating, like if I'm operating on the assumption that you want five, you know, home cooked meals every night and I'm delivering that, yeah, cool. Like I'll take it. You know what I mean? And then we think that that's what they expect when in actuality, we've created that expectation that really so much more of what we struggle with comes from ourselves. Mm. And I think that's what's so interesting about this inventory step is that we really create an opportunity for ourselves and also sometimes for us and our partners or us and our kids to really look at that. Is this something that's expected of me or is it just coming from my sense of what it means to be a good partner?
Mm-hmm. And I do have women sometimes say, like, I had the conversation and that is what my partner expects.
Sure.
And that's where I'd say that's when you start having conversations, because just because it's what your partner expects of you doesn't mean that you have to do it. You can have ownership over your life and you can say, I know that's what you would prefer, but that doesn't work for me. So let's find a compromise. I remember my husband one time telling me, in the beginning of my motherhood, I was a full-time stay-at-home parent. And he told me one day that he really did not want the kids watching any TV. And I said to him, well, when you're the stay-at-home parent, you can make that call. But until then, I'm the one who's with them all day long. And there are times when I need a break and TV is going to be happening. And he said, you're right. Absolutely. Because I have a wonderful partner. I know not everybody would be so willing to just say you're right that quickly. But I think we need to stand up for our own realities and say, I know that's what you want, but that doesn't work for me. Let's find a different way to feed our family in a way that works for all of us.
Is that the perfect segue into the edit step? Because is that part of editing, especially when we're talking about things that are not physical? Is there like the level of communication like, okay, I'm taking this out of the inventory mm-hmm. and this is what it looks like for us?
Yes. So the edit step is where you get really concrete about what stays and what goes. That's where you have those conversations. Sometimes those conversations are with yourself, where you're kind of coaching yourself and saying, it's okay to let this go, and here's why. Sometimes those conversations are with other people that are impacted by your decision, like your family, your kids, your partner. But you're basically, I always encourage moms to open your mind to all of the possibilities for feeding your family in this step. Like, so you've realized that somewhere along the line, you decided that home-cooked meals were what good moms do. And maybe that's because you come from a family of origin where your mom did that a lot. And you're deciding you're going to let that go because it doesn't work for you, at least not 7 days a week. What are all of the options? Let's get crazy here. Just write them all down, brainstorm all, because feeding your family is necessary. I mean, I'm talking like put the craziest stuff on there so then you see that you have options. Like, okay, for the month of December, we are going to eat cereal every single night. We are going to do takeout every single night. I'm going to hire a personal chef. I'm going to do a meal planning service or kit. I'm going to have the kids cook every single night and it's going to be mac and cheese or ramen. That's actually a possibility. And so once you start brainstorming all of the possibilities, that's when you start to see, I have options, I have choices. And it's like, I actually don't want to take that option of mac and cheese every single night. And so it's no longer, I have to do this. It's like, I choose to, because these other options aren't what I want. I actually don't want to do takeout every single night, but I could, like that is an option. But I'm choosing not to. I'm choosing, most moms will come to some halfway where they'll say, okay, we're going to do a home cooked meal 2 days a week. And then we're going to do takeout one night or whatever, some mix of all of the options. Yeah. But just allowing yourself to brainstorm and open your mind to all the possibilities really like it gives you practice with that muscle of believing that you have a choice. Because so often in motherhood, anything we resent in motherhood, we think we have no choice. And that's not true. We do have choices.
I love what you're saying. It's bringing me back to, I have a background in child development and worked for many years in a creative industry, children's television, children's media. And we always started brainstorm meetings, reminding everybody with this theory of creativity that believes that brainstorming should have no limits and that you never judge an idea right away. So even if you know an idea is absolutely freaking impossible, you don't say that. Like, you don't say, well, that's impossible. You just let every idea come out because even having the bad ideas on the page or on the board are what help create
the momentum almost
to the good ideas, right? Because everything has a kernel of something else, or something might spark, you know, a bad idea might spark a thought in a different way in someone else's brain. You just have to let it all flow. And then that's where your best ideas come from. So I love this. I think it's great because it's not just like talking about possibility and empowering yourself. It's also just like, this is how you can be creative. And in motherhood, a lot of times we just need creative solutions. Mm-hmm. Like, we are just doing too much. When the solutions we have aren't working for us, time to get creative, roll up our sleeves, and like, what are other solutions? Which is a great segue to talking about joy and that piece of it. So talk to us about that. I mean, you know, you explained creating space. And now what do we fill it with? I think sometimes that stumps us.
Yeah. Well, the make room for joy is the fun step, but especially around food, depending on what all is going on in your home around food, it can sometimes not feel very joyful. And yeah. I want to point everyone to an episode that you were both just guests on my show recently, talking about food traditions. And I feel like anybody who wants to dive more into this idea of making room for joy, go back and listen to, it's episode 329. My guests are Stacey and Megan, talking about food traditions. And we kind of talked about this because food is really actually quite difficult in my home. I have a son who is a severely picky eater. I feel some sadness and guilt around that, where I feel like maybe it's my fault because I have a history with eating disorders, and did I create this? And so, like, joy isn't really like an emotion that I associate with meals at our home. Well, I'm working on it. Anyway, and you two are helping me with your advice. So I think, like, taking into consideration kind of all that context of, like, maybe right now meals don't feel very joyful, but like, what is a small thing that I can do to start to make it feel a little bit more joyful? Whether that's like the ambiance, like we have fun music playing, or we light a candle. Or we have like one day a week where we do dessert before dinner and the kids are jazzed about that, because my kids aren't usually very excited about any main dishes because of the picky eating issue, but they are excited about desserts. So maybe we bring that in one day a week. Or I know in the episode on 3 and 30, Megan talked about kind of having like a fast food day of the week that the kids know they're looking forward to. It's like a fun fast food tradition. That's an idea. Like, so you can just get really creative around what sounds like fun to me with a task that for a lot of moms, I think, is more associated with drudgery, feeding our families. Like, how can we bring some levity and joy and spontaneity back to this? It's such a central thing in family life. We have to eat. So, like, how can we bring a little bit of joy back to it?
And I really love how you created space there for people who are grappling with whatever the issue might be, something that is an obstacle to food itself being joy. You know, you can think about opportunities around mealtime. It doesn't have to be food itself. If food is loaded for you, whether it's about your relationship with food or your kids' relationship with food, like, what can you do around mealtime? Because that just starts the ball rolling. You know, you start to make mealtime a little bit more joyful with music, with candles, with some giggles instead of fighting. Maybe fighting happens later in the dinner, but you've kicked things off on a good foot. That gives you some momentum in a positive direction that can be really meaningful and really healing for everybody at the table.
I really latched on, Rachel, to this language that you said, how can I make this fun for me? And I think that that's really important. Sometimes we are so focused on like loving our families and taking care of them that we forget that like we're the person doing the work and we can make the process enjoyable for us. And yes, it's all the things, the candles, the music, the dancing in the kitchen, but it can also be like a topper that you put on the meal that everyone else loves the base meal, but you get something that's a little bit for you. And I think that's like a really important reminder for moms is that like, yes, we're doing this for our family, but we are also taking care of ourselves in this way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes just making a meal that you love, even if not everybody else does. And that means more leftovers for you. You know, like, yes, I totally agree, Megan. How can I make this fun for me is just as important as for the rest of the family.
Tell us real quick where everyone can find out more about your Decluttering Your Motherhood audio courses.
Yeah. So I have this process outlined in great detail in an audio course, which I created for podcast listeners. If you like to consume content in this format, you will like my audio course. It's actually all on a private podcast feed. So if you're a podcast listener, you'll love it. And you can go to 3and30podcast.com/declutter to read more about that and to purchase it. There's also a workbook that goes along with it so that you can go through the steps. And I am going to create a worksheet specific to feeding. And I'll link that at 3and30podcast.com/DIJFY. So if people kind of want to walk through this process that we talked about in the episode and get a small taste of the full course, then they can download that worksheet there.
Amazing. Thank you. Rachel, one quick follow-up question. We would love for you to talk to us about a recipe that either you cook for your family or you cook for yourself that brings you food joy.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, this is kind of a hard one for me, but I'm going to say the recipe that I made last night brings me food joy because it's so fast. It's so easy. That brings me food joy. And
yes.
My kids love it. And my kids don't love very many things.
That's the best.
So I came home from the grocery store last night with the groceries. And that's like the worst when you get home and you know you still have to make dinner. And it was like 7:20 p.m. and I still had to make dinner. And my son said, "What's for dinner?" And I said, I don't like the name of this recipe. It's called Guiltless Alfredo, which I'm like, you shouldn't have guilt even if you're eating regular Alfredo.
Yes.
But it's from the Our Best Bites cookbook. It's called Guiltless Alfredo. But it is so fast. And my son, when I said what we were having, he was like, "Yes, I was hoping you would say that. I've been wanting that all week." And that like brought me such joy. And I whipped it together in 15 minutes. And I felt like a boss that I fed my family. And so that is a recipe that brings me joy. I'm so grateful to the ladies from Didn't I Just Feed You for letting me air that excerpt from their show on 3 and 30 today. And I'll actually air part 2 of this conversation as a bonus episode on Thursday. So come back for that. In the second half of this episode, Stacey and Megan talk together and unpack my interview, discussing how they're going to apply my 3 takeaways to their own shoulds with regard to feeding their family, particularly their shoulds with regard to meal planning. So if meal planning can be a sticky topic for you, be sure to come back on Thursday for this special bonus episode with these 2 fantastic ladies. And in the meantime, don't forget that you can get a detailed free handout that will walk you through your own shoulds in feeding your family by texting the word dinner to 33777. This is really a sneak peek of my full audio course, so get a taste of that by grabbing that free handout by texting the word dinner to 33777. By way of recap of my 3 takeaways in this episode about how to declutter your guilt around feeding your family, first, inventory. Brainstorm your beliefs around how a good mom feeds her family. Sit down and make a big list or journal entry so you can visually see all of the shoulds that are weighing you down. This step is like taking everything out of a closet so you can inventory and get rid of stuff before you organize it. Second, edit. Now that you can see all the shoulds that are weighing you down around feeding your family, go through them one by one and decide if you actually want to keep that expectation for yourself. Does that belief about feeding your family spark joy for you and fit you and your unique personality? Does it bless your family? If yes, you can keep it. If no, you can remove it or modify it. This step might involve conversations with your partner and others, as well as creative brainstorming for different options and solutions. And the third and final step is to make room for more joy. Once you've gotten rid of the shoulds that don't fit you and your family with regard to feeding, you'll have room to add in more joyful food traditions that do fit you. Start a fun fast food or takeout tradition that your family looks forward to. Eat dessert before dinner one night of the week. Light candles or play fun music during family meals. Use some of the time that you used to spend cooking homemade meals 7 days a week to play a game as a family. It doesn't matter what this step looks like for you, but letting go of heavy shoulds always leads to more authentic joy. And don't forget, I walk you through those three steps with prompts and guided brainstorming in that free handout you can get by texting the word dinner to 33777. Friends, no matter how you feed your family, you are a good mom. I hope you believe me when I say that. I'm rooting for you always and forever, and I truly hope you have a beautiful week with your family.